Want access to richer content and exclusive analysis on the business of sport? Sports Pro Plus is used by experts across the industry to make informed decisions, with two membership tiers offering access to original content, exclusive reports, and a suite of business intelligence tools. Become a member today at sportspromedia.com/subscribe and use the code FCPOD10. That's FCPOD10 at checkout for a 10% discount.
The Football Code Business Podcast. The most creative minds and innovative thinkers in football.
Hello and welcome to the Football Code Business Podcast. A slightly different show today as we're here at City Studios, the production house of Manchester City Football Club. A stone's throw from the Etihad Stadium and embedded within the club's training grounds. I'm Paul Raymond and I'm here with Gavin Johnson, Media Director at City Football Group, and Graham Belshaw, Head of Live Content for Manchester City. We're here to talk about the studio, the content created from it, and Manchester City's broader fan engagement strategy and the role played by City Studios. As we're here right now with all these cameras on us, and for those kind of listening to the podcast and maybe not seeing the video, could you give us an idea of kind of what we actually have here? Because there's a lot of lights, a lot of cameras, and a lot of screens.
Yeah, so we're currently sat in Studio One, which is just coming up to its second birthday. We opened Studio One as part of what we call City Studios. And City Studios is three things. So number one, it's about creativity, and that means creative talent, but also a creative mindset that runs through the whole business. The second thing is production resource. So we can talk about that in a little bit more detail in a moment, but all the different production resource that we have to deliver the output for the club and for the group. And thirdly, the facilities, of which Studios One is one of our currently two studios, hopefully more in the future. And where we're sat right now, we're probably about 200 or 300 meters from where Erling Haaland, Pep Guardiola are having their lunch. If you go in that direction, you're probably about 200 or 300 meters from Lauren Hemp, Chloe Kelly, Alex Greenwood having their lunch and preparing for training. So to say it's embedded at the heart of the business is an understatement. And we very deliberately built this facility within the proximity of at the heart of the football club. So City Studios is a whole department, but this is specifically Studio One in the heart of it. And we did a hell of a lot of work going back 3 years ago now, I think, when we first conceived the project.
Yeah, three years. Doesn't seem like that.
To build what it is, but you're probably better, Graham, you're better placed to explain what's in here and how we use it.
Yeah, so, I mean, before this studio, you saw the campus we nipped out earlier, and we would have to do all of our different shoots dotted around spots in the campus that were available, which is very difficult on a very busy day-to-day football campus. So this is designed to be able to run several productions in a day, but sometimes we do it in a couple of hours. So we have four cameras, multiple lights, loads of different backdrops that are all updatable. Every screen in here is tailored to you guys today, for our own content, broadcasters that we use, and on certain occasions, other CFG clubs have used it as well. So it's a really multi-purpose facility.
Roughly, I know it's impossible to put a number on it. It changes through seasons, off-seasons, etc. But how much content would you say is produced within the buildings that we're in today?
I wouldn't be able to put a number on hours, but today, and you know, it's you know, this studio was working earlier. We're doing this piece now. We've got another show this afternoon, and then we'll have a game tonight. So that's four decent-sized productions in a very short space of time.
So is things like the cut-downs, the social content, and more of kind of the shorter form content, is that also produced here as well?
Yes, a good example is when we sign new players, where they have a contract extension, they have a bit like, you could say, between 40 minutes to an hour in here, and there are multiple formats created. Social first, official interviews, commercial content, and that all happens in quite a short space of time. But because of all the cameras and the different facilities we have, and having a live control room, we can turn it around so quickly.
So I know you can't really say what's more important than others, because obviously your content's got its own different purposes. But is there things that this studio gives you now that you couldn't have done 3 years ago? Or if you did do it 3 years ago, it'd have been a much bigger ask and involved kind of like outside parties?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's more polished. because it's such a good studio. It's controllable. You know, we're in a place where it's soundproofed. It's top of the range kit, so it looks great. Before, we were finding a spot anywhere on the campus, indoor pitch, outside, the, you know, near the training ground, sorry, the training pitches. So it just gives us that, it's probably the best, it gives us that almost guaranteed look.
Yeah. I mean, you speak about polish. Obviously, this is now also used for club partners as well. So it must be a huge advantage if you're working with club partners to be able to produce something where you've got a lot more control over it. And even with just branding aside, it just looks a lot more like a premium product, which, you know, commercial partners are needing.
Yeah, so we've a big part of what City Studio is, of which there's multiple departments within that. So, for example, there's a written editorial team who also do podcasts. We have a photography team. We have a features team who are developing sort of documentaries. We have a post-production team, operations team, live and studio team, which Graham looks after. We have a design team as well, all in operations. So all of these different teams come together. But a big part of what of why we launched City Studios was to work for our club partners. And that is now turning into a pretty big business. And the way we built that particular part of the team was taking talent from different organizations. So social media publishers, for example, some people from pure play kind of publishers, some people from an agency background. And so what we've got an eclectic mix of talent in there who can come up with very creative concepts for brands, but also deliver them too. But what we're there to do is understand what the brand wants and what that brand partner wants, but also understand what our fans will like. Because everything we do, whether it's on the commercial side or the non-commercial side, is what will resonate with fans. And we are better placed than anyone else to understand what fans would like. The other advantage that we have as a business is that we understand what our players will like doing and won't like doing. And we understand their personalities really well. We understand what stuff they really don't want to do, even if they're quite very polite not to say it. And if you put all those three things together in terms of, okay, well, what's the brand looking to achieve? What will resonate with our fans? And also our key talent, which is our players, whether it is Lauren Hemp or it's Erling Haaland, we can actually tailor things accordingly. And that is giving us some amazing results. So more and more our partners are trusting us to create their branded content. So branded content is and the skills in-house to deliver on that is a big part of what we do. And it's accelerated over the last couple of years. And I think that will continue to accelerate over the next 2 to 3 years as well.
So what would you say is the split then between your own content or content for City for the City clubs and the content for commercial partners? 50-50 or does it verge one way?
No, I mean, I think it's probably about 10% of our output would have a brand associated with it. And the other 90% is what we call pure editorial. Some of the stuff, it can be sponsored. So, you know, we'd have a partner on Match Day Live, for example, which Graham and the team produce. But equally, you know, there can be different assets that we create with brands around. But about 85-90% is what I would call pure editorial. Because, you know, our mindset is, what will the fans enjoy? What will the City fans love? And if you focus on that and you focus on creativity, everything else kind of takes care of itself. Because if you start with, you know, a different mindset, then actually you're going to struggle because you're not going to appeal to the fans, which actually, you know, that's what brands want. They want to be able to do big numbers, be able to resonate, send their brand messages, tell their brand messages in the right manner, and deliver some decent numbers. And you know, we see ourselves as like real impact drivers, so we can drive impact for brands and really resonate and hopefully, you know, deliver for them.
I mean, one thing you're not short of is obviously channels to put this content across. Mm. I know you're across all channels, you have City Plus as well. This year, the past couple of years, has there been a certain channel which has been the main focus or some of which you're seeing kind of the best engagement?
It depends what the content we're making and it depends what the brand is trying to achieve if we're working for a partner on that particular project. Most of our stuff tends to deliver across most channels. I think the interesting channel this year that's come from nowhere, and certainly over the past 6 months since it launched in September, is WhatsApp. So WhatsApp's a really interesting one. So the WhatsApp channels, as it's called, we started working on that, sort of late August, start of September when it launched. And our follower numbers on there are huge. And so suddenly from nowhere, we have another platform where our fans consume our content. And I think, I checked last night, we're about 22-23 million followers on that, which is about 5 or 6 million than the next biggest Premier League team. So we're the biggest Premier League team when it comes to WhatsApp audience. So in terms of creating different content, understanding what it works, different sizes, dimensions, we'll deliver it. So most things work across most channels in our experience, but vertical video has obviously just exploded over the last couple of years. Instagram is accelerating. TikTok, we were one of the pioneers on that, and that's growing fast. So, yeah, we try to get ahead of those trending platforms.
I mean, we'll talk about Netflix later on, obviously. Mm. But one thing that kind of comes up is quite comparable to this conversation is we did this show about 6, 9 months ago with Juventus out in Turin. And one question that came up with them was the choice between where you kind of house the content, whether you put things behind a subscription wall or whether it's behind a paywall, whether it's on owned or operated channels or wherever. When you're deciding that, what questions are you asking about where should you put it? What's more important? Is it the eyeballs? Is it the data? And how do you manage that?
So we launched City Plus, which is our OTT platform, in the summer of 2019, which is the year before I joined, actually. And that's steadily grown since then. If you look at the content we put on City Plus, it is high-end documentaries, which invariably take months and months to deliver. So The Pep Effect is one that we did last year, which is talking all about the impact that Pep Guardiola had on the English game and the impact he had on all the coaches here and all the team and some of the data behind that. And that was a 6 to 7 months production. Again, we're about to announce next week a Julian Alvarez documentary, and the team have been working with Alvarez and his guys for 7, 8 months at least, if not longer, probably, since he came back from the World Cup in Qatar. And we've been, and again, it's an amazing watch. So A, that takes a lot of resource, it takes a lot of time, and so we have to try and see a return on that. And so when we launched it, it was like, well, is there an appetite for this kind of really premium kind of documentaries? And also, is there an appetite for live production of more games? So, and Graham can talk to it, but we cover absolutely every single game that we're allowed to within the guidelines of the Premier League regulations and all the other regulations that we have to adhere to. So under 18s, under 21s, and women's and so forth. So, I mean, how many per season?
Last year was 52 live games that we had the rights to broadcast on City Plus, which was a really big number.
That's extensive. So what kind of, whether it be that's international tours,
tours, games. Yeah. So pre-season games, men's games. There was a couple of men's friendlies last year as well during the season. The women's games that we have the rights to. So several WSL, Continental Cup, FA Cup. If it's not taken by a broadcaster, we jump on it. We cover every 18s game, under 18s, because there's no rights restrictions. And when we can, we will cover the Premier League 2 games that our team features in. The 21s, that's a little bit trickier because some of them fall under the wider Premier League embargo, but it's a great product for us. It's, you know, you get to see all the new superstars coming through.
Yeah, I mean, it must be handy when you have someone like Phil Foden, who's kind of, you know, a poster child for City's kind of facility youth team as well.
Yeah, and if you look at that, you know, a lot of the players are still here and some of them moved on to other clubs. You know, obviously City's academy is as good as it gets, and it is our job to shine a light on those players, but also that builds relationships across the business and the team. We work with Ben Wilkinson, who's the coach of the under 18s, Brian Murphy, under 21s, and they use us and this facility to educate their players as well. Do you want to talk through how that works?
Yeah, they are keen to, they want the games broadcast as much as we do, because the whole premise, it builds the academy and the players' knowledge and experience. So they're interviewed before and after games. Hmm. You know, and obviously playing in front of an audience.
But their media training as well.
Exactly, yeah. So, and it's been really good that the academy work with us to move fixtures if we can, just to allow us to broadcast them, which is a big plus.
So you mentioned premium content. Obviously City was, if not the first, one of the first, I'm pretty sure it was the first team to do one of Amazon's All or Nothing documentaries. Was that like a useful kind of way to test things out and to kind of get an idea of how a production like that works? Before you went off and done your own thing?
Yeah, so I mean, that predates me, the Amazon one, but it was a big success. We were the first, I think, in the Premier League to do it. It was a great watch. It gave us a little bit of advantage when we then, over the last 4 years, we've rebuilt those relationships. We've worked very hard to embed the team the first, our first team production team within the first team operation, and deliver some great stuff. Same as we've done on the women's side. So we were embedded with the women towards the end of last season, and we got a great documentary on the back of it as well. So, I mean, where we started with, it was actually during the pandemic year, because we were able to embed within the bubble, as it was called, the 85 people allowed in the bubble when all those COVID restrictions were there. And we just built some relationships. And so that was the foundation from it. And it just gave a confidence and also a trust that that we're here just to shine a light on the amazing work that the team do.
So is that's the model now then, to do your own, whereas once again, we'll go and talk about what's coming up with Netflix, to produce everything yourself rather than work with a partner like Amazon, where they are, as far as I'm aware, they were embedded rather than your own.
Yeah,
people.
No, it was there. Yeah, well, it was a third party that they used, that we collaborated, and you know, we have obviously influence over who that was and how it was going to work. But yeah, we worked with them to decide who that was. But yeah, but our vision is that we have a phenomenal amount of talent internally that we. I inherited like the most unbelievable team, which is a massive advantage. And virtually all of those, really brilliant people are still here, but we've also been supplementing it with a couple of senior hires, but mostly it's bringing people from the bottom, isn't it? And so we have, we believe in sort of a bit like the academy, if you like, of improving our own talent, training them, empowering them, giving them creative license, just go and do great stuff. But it does come down to relationships, ultimately. It's like we mentioned, Ben Wilkinson, Byron Murphy, hopefully if they were sat here, they'd talk very positively about us, as with Gareth Taylor on the women's side, in terms of how our team works with them and the respect that we have for the very serious job that they're doing and the commitments that they make. But also, I think they do understand that actually, if they work with us, it's a way to shine a light on the great work that is done and the sacrifices that they make to deliver the success that they have on the pitch.
So, I mean, Together is, I guess, the successor to what kind of like All or Nothing may have kind of got the ball rolling for. For people who aren't City fans or don't subscribe to your content, just give us an elevator pitch for what Together is and the role that it plays.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, we, Together, which is the first one, that was covered the final 3 months of the 21-22 season. And we had a 95-minute feature which covered those last few weeks. And again, we were embedded with the team, we built relationships, there's lots of stuff from the training ground, lots of stuff from the games, and it did brilliantly. And we put that on YouTube. Last season, the last Together, that was a 7-part series. And again, breathtaking stuff from behind the scenes with Pep Guardiola, his staff, and all of the players. And then yesterday we announced that the treble winners Together, which is the latest version, is that it's going to be streamed exclusively on Netflix. So we've been working on that deal for a little while. There's been some rumours that have sort of been thrown around the last few weeks, which is always the way. But we're thrilled that Netflix see us as City Studios, that the quality of the talent that we have, the storytelling abilities that we can deliver, the technical knowledge that we have, because there are some real sort of very high bar in terms of the technical specifications as to how we deliver stuff to them, and the trust that they've given with us. So we are working very hard with Netflix in the minute. We announced it yesterday with a trailer drop, which is on the 5th of March, and then on the April the 2nd, the 6-part series goes live on Netflix.
So Netflix is obviously a different channel to what you were doing with YouTube before. Apart from the figures involved, or the figures I've heard anyway, how does that compare towards kind of what may be considered to be more of an open platform with something like YouTube?
I'm a big fan of YouTube. YouTube is great. I think what we're getting with Netflix, obviously we're getting those multiple homes, and the product will sit there. If you go into open up your app now, it's the 250, 260 million homes across the globe can see the trailer for Netflix, which is obviously pushed into people's apps on their iPads, on their phones, on their smart TVs. So it gives us big scale across the globe. And we're working really closely with Netflix's marketing team in terms of how we present it to make sure as many people know about it. I mean, our main thing that it's an interesting one. virtually any content we make, it's like, what will City fans think? You know, half of our team is made up of City fans. The other half is, you know, an eclectic mix of different, you know, clubs that they support. But we're all very passionate about football content, what works, what doesn't work. It's amazing. The success we have had has come from, what will City fans think? What will our passionate fans think? We get that right, everything else takes care of itself. And, you know, football is very, very tribal, as Paul, you would know. But what we see, if you produce great content, you pull back that curtain on a club, you pull back the curtain on the personalities, the sacrifices they make, the humour that they have between them, what really goes on in the dressing room, which is what we are very privileged to witness, it resonates actually beyond City fans, ironically, even though the City fans is the main thing that we care about. It actually transcends beyond that because we have such expertise of the storytellers and the access that we have.
I'll come back to the content in a second, but in terms of what you were saying there about the City fans, it resonating beyond City fans, is that part of the strategy for content like this? Are you expecting it to create new City fans in maybe other countries, or fans is something we've obviously found is, while the live product is obviously important, fans get brought into sports, whether it's through the likes of the F1 series or golf series, another kind of narrative-driven content.
Yeah.
Is that part of the purpose behind it, that you actually might actually nurture future fans who are coming to City through documentaries rather than maybe coming to it through going to the Etihad or following more traditionally?
You know, there's only 53,000 people that can come to the Etihad every other week, and you can't get a ticket, right? We're sold out for the rest of the season. Obviously, we work with our broadcast partners and going to get broadcasts around the world. So that is our primary product. What we see our job and our team's job is to tell the stories around that. And no one else can do it like we can. We do work very closely with the broadcasters and we help them as much as possible. But certain things, like what the access we get with Together, we're able to capture those different stories. But if you just look at the data from last year, I think Result Sports, who are an independent research company who analyse all of the output for the clubs, last year we had an increase of followers on our channels, which is not, again, we don't obsess about it, but we had an increase of 53 million followers in 2023. The next biggest Premier League club had 30 million. So we had 20 million more followers chose to follow City's channels than the next biggest Premier League club. That shows how big the impact of winning on the pitch is, but also our job is to make sure we're telling the stories around the club and delivering on it. So both things go hand in hand, but that gives you a feeling for the scale of how big Manchester City is now.
So you mentioned winning on the pitch. Clearly the new Together, when it does launch, is going to focus predominantly, obviously, on the treble winning. Would have been three trophies. If someone's winning a success and there's little jeopardy, it's like the success can almost kind of like count against you. You want something for the narrative to fight against.
Yeah.
Is that why it's so much more important to kind of cover things like maybe individual stories or the comedy or kind of like personal drama, players' injuries and stuff like that, so it's not just kind of following win after win after win?
Yeah, there's lots of personalities in there and we've really focused on that. It's primarily the players that we focused on last season. And, you know, every player is heavily media trained. Every player does multiple interviews. But what we try to get under the skin of that a little bit. And we had, you know, we get a lot of time with the players where they're a bit more relaxed. And because of the relationships we've got and the trust that they have in us, they open up and you see them. But also when you see stuff in the dressing room, it's raw emotion as well. And yes, as much as, you know, a bit of a giveaway in the title of treble winners, the story is extraordinary. I mean, I'm privileged to watch, well, through the whole of the edit and then the final versions. I can't tell you how good it is. It is extraordinary. We have footage from the Real Madrid game at home, which is probably the best, most iconic Manchester City performance ever. We have footage in Istanbul of Pep's halftime team talk. I cannot tell you how good it is. It is extraordinary. It is the best football output I've ever seen.
When's it due to launch again? Just make sure we get that.
2nd of April.
2nd of April. Outside of that, which is obviously is a huge, especially with the Netflix partnership now, like a landmark product from the studios, one of the more frequent things that you produce is Matchday Live, which is a very different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
How do you describe that to somebody who's not seen Matchday Live before? I mean, the clue's in the title, but it's more than just people on the pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. It's I mean, it's a show similar to what Gavin was saying about all of our content. It's tailored to City fans and followers. So it's consistent. So we produce a show for every single men's game, whatever the competition, you know, if it's friendly, if it's a Champions League final. It goes across all of our channels, social and our own app and web. It's around 65, 75 minutes long, pre-match. Yep. We return at half-time as an update, talk about what we've seen. And then hopefully at full-time, well, whatever the result, but full-time we look back at the results and the performance. And if you watch it on our app, you get a full stream of content with our own commentary.
Getting fans better, I mean, half-time, everyone's got what they do at half-time, then maybe like a ritual, whether it's going, making a drink, playing a video game, whatever else it might be. Is half-time one where you can bring them back for? Is that, or is it actually quite a challenge?
It's, well, we tend to invite fans, because we within the show, we have former City players, some celebrities, some fans, some creators, YouTubers are all City fans. We get them involved. And so it's talking about, obviously, the teams, anecdotes, which everyone loves. You know, if you go to a podcast and you want to listen to our stories from the past or a bit of insight into someone's career. And we invite fans to pose questions, to get in touch with these pundits and guests. And then it's half-time is the point of where we bring in those questions and those content. So that makes sense to bring them back for half-time. Often, if there's been a really interesting half, people jump in anyway because they want to hear all about it.
So what's the headcount for producing something like that? Because there's you go from various locations, right? You're in the studio, you're pitch side, sometimes you're abroad.
Yes, yeah. Well, actually, so Matchday Live is the really polished version of what started as We're Not Really Here, which was born in the tail end of the pandemic when the Premier League and the Champions League were coming back to finish the season. And we were all producing that remotely from home, commentators from home, presenters, guests, all from home.
Was that like Zoom calls or was it all audio?
A little bit, yeah. Zoom calls using cloud production. So everything was, you know, we made a lot of new relationships with suppliers who could give us this type of solutions to pull together a decent show, actually. It was great fun. Difficult because you're visual mixing from your kitchen. Some people are commentating from the bedrooms. But it had quite a bit good soul about it and it allowed fans, no one could go to the games, to watch and be part of the club and part of the team. Such was the success that we rolled it out to Matchday Live and, I guess, dating it. But this Sunday is a huge game against Liverpool. And we have a team in this studio that I've sat in now. We have a production team at Anfield, who will be pitch side. We also have a production team in this pub in the centre of Manchester that we're taking over. That's partnered with our show partner. So we'll have a former player there and a presenter mingling with the fans. And at the same time, our women's team are playing in the FA Cup against Tottenham. So we have a team there.
I've lost count. So is that five outside broadcasts?
Four. Well, four including the studio. And those streams will come back in. So the producer and the talented team of around 11. So every show we have about a core of 11 staff producing this show. And yeah, they'll knit that all together as an entertaining kind of spectacle, hopefully for our fans and followers to get involved.
I mean, that seems huge and much more than I think I kind of appreciate it when I kind of seen some of the content you've had on YouTube. What's been the most successful then? Is it the big games? Is it the derbies or the big games like that? Or is it what you mentioned before, kind of the matches where fans generally don't kind of get the access, like from tours abroad?
Yeah, but a bit of everything really. I mean, the big games are clearly popular. Finals, clinching league titles, moments where I remember Fulham from, I sometimes forget whether it was early this season, I think it was last season, where we were down to 10 men, we came back and we'd won with a great performance and loads of our audience piled into us at full time and to celebrate. And it was Fulham, but it was like it was such an important win and probably in together you'll see the kind of the impact that had on the season. But anecdotally, we did a show where we played Luton for the first time in 25 years. And because of the relationships we have with our former players, we took a group of five former players on a minibus down to Kenilworth Road. We captured content as we went, which came back into the control room here. And that was all part of that show around Luton. And yeah, so those guys appeared on Sky. as they were down at Kenilworth Road. We were doing hits from Kenilworth Road with all those players, reminiscing, but also talking about the game ahead. Fans got involved, and we heard anecdotally from fans to say how much they loved seeing those groups of players who were so important in our history be represented on a contemporary show.
So who do you find is watching Matchday Live? Is it the local, I know obviously it's going to be a huge audience, but is it the local Manchester fan who's also going to be a match-going fan and maybe can't make the match that day? Or is it very much like an international audience who kind of wants to feel part of that, but will struggle to ever get anywhere near the Etihad?
It's probably, it's both that we've seen. Primarily on a home game, it's international, because your core Manchester group are at the game. Although, at the pub, yeah, of course. I mean, we've all got our rituals and it's... But we do, the show is actually, you can watch the show in the Etihad in certain areas as well. So if you come to the match, you can actually see Matchday Live in certain parts of the ground. But for the away games especially, you know, such is life now, is people can't get to the game. So expats, you know, because we feature fans on the show who dial into this video wall here next to us. So they're on the screen and we have fans from all over the world. And it's even, but there's plenty of Manx in the far-flung corners. They want to get involved. So it's if you're a fan and a follower, we want you to bring as you close to the action as possible.
You talk about it really passionately. Clearly it's something which the studio is very proud of as well as the club.
Yes.
How do you kind of like analyse the success? What analytics are you looking for? Is it the fans coming back? Is it the duration that they're watching for? Because it's hard to maintain viewership these days with having fans not only consume a 90-minute product if it's the match listening to on the radio, but to also then kind of have them for 60 minutes before, 50 minutes in the middle, and some time at the end as well.
Every metric's important, but my personal, I like the dwell time, because I like to see that people have been watching it for a long time, because we get a lot of views, but if that was just 2 minutes, it kind of means that they're probably flicking in, maybe get a team news, and then jumping out again. But that's a really important metric, I think, that we want fans joining us as part of their match day experience.
And it's interesting to talk about what really resonates with the City fans. Our three main hosts are all extremely talented professionals hosts, but they're all diehard City fans as well. Like whether it's Natalie, who's a big talent, who's been working with us for a number of years. She also works at the stadium as well. Kel Spellman as well, who is, you know, and it's great. I come in here, we watch the show, and let's say we're doing a away Champions League game, and then we go off air, and those guys live and breathe it. It is like every single kick.
Yeah.
And even like FG as well, who, like I was at the Bournemouth game, I took my kids a couple of weeks ago, FG's there just, you know, watching the game, not working. You know, these are, and I think we've really doubled down on that because City fans know. It's like, you know, is this authentically City, and that's a huge foundation for our success. Is that what do City fans want, and then it builds from there.
We should film them during the game, really, because it gets a little bit fraught and frantic. Yeah.
Great social content.
Yeah,
and we have a lot of bleeps would be
and then sometimes such as their talent, they're able to within seconds because we go live at full time whistle. So such, you know, they kind of...
Bring it back down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they really show their passion. That's what we want, though. It's not a case of we're here to be... Yeah, we're not here to be, like, impartial.
No, far from it, right?
No, we want to celebrate as much as we can. Yeah. So I think the Champions League final, our director Kimberly, she had... Well, there's champagne in here, beer, there's party poppers, and it was just part of the celebration that went out throughout all of our different areas.
I was going to ask you then about talent. I mean, you've just mentioned you're presenting talent, but obviously you have former players as well. Who did you have in for the Champions League one then?
Oh, I mean,
that was a big prediction
we have, yeah. So I think in here, the easiest, we had Steve Harvey, Cameron Bardsley. Then we, in Istanbul, we had, it's almost like a squad.
I bet it was.
Of people. So we had, it was great. We had Steph Horton, so our current City captain. She was, and she's one on our quite regular pool of pundits as well. Sean Wright Phillips, Nader Manua. They were in Istanbul. We had Jonah Lescott. Then we had Carlos Tevez and Sergio Aguero for our Spanish-speaking little section. We had, I mean, Gael Clichy was showed up.
You're making a little kind of like make your little Man City dream 11 kind of
yeah.
squad.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I mean, it's and we it's got to the point where we couldn't actually feature them all in a lot of time because it was pretty hectic. But it shows that, and we've got a pool of around 34 former City players who kind of regularly come through the studio for Matchday Live.
You've got just a lot of the names that you mentioned there. Some that means some. I know I've seen David James on some of your productions as well. Yes. You mentioned Jerrold Lescott. These are players which also have, you know, a strong pedigree when it comes to actually working in broadcast as well. That must help, or sometimes does it even matter? Is the fact that they are a true City fan what really kind of drives it, and kind of they're perfect. They don't need to be have 10 years worth of broadcast behind them.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's more the personality and the enjoyment. I mean, we're very relaxed approach. We're not formal. It's not suits. If you watch the show, it's very casual, and we want them to be comfortable and talk about their time with City. Mm. You mentioned David James. I mean, he's synonymous with Liverpool and England as well as West Ham, Portsmouth, and Villa. But he's a great one because he can bring both his. He wants City to do well, but he can look at from the Liverpool point of view. So I mean, he's at Anfield on Sunday.
Yeah, well, he has to be, doesn't he?
yeah, and it's just, but all the players bring their own little anecdotes, and that's what we want. Because as a fan, as a football fan myself, you hear there's so many streams and podcasts that we want to get those City stories, and we want to share them with the fans. And it's amazing being part of the team when you're working on it, hearing some great anecdotes from everybody.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we don't have to cut to an ad break. There's no like sort of, okay, we have to cut. So it's more relaxed. If someone's telling a good story, we just keep going with it or, you know, analysing it. And, it, you know, people like, you know, Steph Horton, as Graham said, she's our current, you know, women's captain, you know, phenomenal career, highly respected, you know, like proper beacon of the club. And she's, you know, wonderful pundit on Matchday Live. And if we're helping, you know, in her future career, whenever she moves on and does her next thing, then great. Or even like people like Izzy Christensen. Izzy, I think, is one of the best pundits in the country. And she's, you know, we're privileged to have her on the show because, you know, she comes in, she has expertise. She covers the men's games for us. She covers the women's games for us. And she's quite analytical into her understanding of the game as well. And so we give, you know, it's not necessarily a platform to these people, but hopefully they enjoy really working with us and we make it a great experience. We've got a good culture here where it is, you know, it's a professional nature in terms of what we do, but also it's a very creative and relaxed environment as well.
I mean, we've talked a lot about City. We're surrounded by the logos where we are here. But how does this studio work with the other clubs in the group? Or what are the plans to work with other clubs in the group?
On a practical level, this studio in the last 3 months has been used by Girona. It's also been used by Bahia. So Girona, obviously, we have an interest in that Spanish club. Bahia, which is our Brazilian club that we bought last year, they came on their pre-season, I was about to say warm weather training in the middle of December, January in Manchester. It wasn't quite warm weather. But again, we announced players here. New York City, they signed a player, a European player recently, and we shot it in here as well. So on a practical level, Studio One is used by across the group. City Studios is launching in New York City, and that's imminent. We also have influence across the other clubs as well, like Melbourne, for example. The US is a key market for us. You know, we're in the Club World Cup in summer 25. You know, we're looking at where we're going to tour this summer, for example. But City Studios US is something that we're thinking about in terms of, you know, how can we harness in that market as well. So there's a lot of big things on the horizon, some of which I can talk about now, some of which I can't. But we share expertise across the group. We do have a lot of good resource in Manchester, and people come and shadow us and educate us. But also we learn from them as well. It's not like, you know, the way the team is. It's not like we know everything. So we're very open to working with different people across the different clubs within the group.
Before we finish, one thing we obviously wanted to discuss was the various revenue streams, the way you work with partners, the way you've been able to kind of move your content across to Netflix as well. Are there any expectations for the studio to work in terms of a revenue generator elsewhere in the club, or any kind of plans beyond what you're doing already?
Whenever we sort of generate revenue, it's kind of a byproduct of doing great work. So, you know, ourselves, like most clubs, we monetize social across YouTube, you know, X as it is now known, and a couple of other platforms. And it's good. You only generate revenue if you produce amazing content, which has got great production values or really, really creative. So we don't worry about the revenue too much. We worry about, okay, have we got the right people in the house who can, you know, deliver creative content? Have we got the right resources, the right facilities? Oh, superb. Our output is then going to deliver some revenue. So we, you know, everything has to pay its way. So, you know, we put a business plan together for this studio 3 years ago now, and we had to explain, well, actually, this will allow us to, you know, drive revenues into the business. But our main core focus is about creativity and production and what will the City fans love.
All makes sense. All comes back to that by the sounds of things. Gavin, Graham, thanks for your time. Thanks for having us here in the studio. And yeah, best of luck with the future and what else you can come to expect from City Studios.
Super. Thank you. Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Football Co. Business Podcast. The most creative minds and innovative thinkers in football.